I'm going to start the session off with a formal thank you so much to you, Dr. Cornelius Wambigulere, for taking time out of your schedule to be in your garden to share your thoughts and reflections on this adaptation and translation of Sophocles' Antigone, as well as your thoughts on the genre of Greek tragedies on the African continent, with a specific focus on Uganda, which is your birth country and your home. So may I ask you if you could briefly introduce yourself?
Okay, thank you very much, Jane. I am Cornelius Wambigulere, a Musoga and of the Mwase clan. Now, that is a very important aspect within our traditional setup. Busoga is a kingdom or chiefdom in the eastern part of Uganda with a population of over 3 million people. They speak Lusoga language, and this is the language of the adaptation of this play Antigone. And when I talk about the Mwase clan, that is the identity of the family from which I belong. And that is the people of light, the sun and the sunshine. The introduction could go on and on and on. Professionally, I'm a teacher. I am a teacher of English and literature, but specializing in African literature, in particular, riddles and riddling. I'm also a writer, a translator, a mentor, and an online facilitator. And at this moment of COVID-19, but even before, right from 1990s, I've been trying to help children and other people to access knowledge online, because I'm aware that people are not able to get information physically. Even you, for now, you wouldn't be able to get any information about this if it were not for the online services.
Yeah.
So that is part of me. I've committed myself to do that so we can share the wealth of information we have in the little communities that may reach far and wide to whoever might want to use it in any way they'd like to use it. I am advanced in age now, 52.
And I love it. That's so young. Oh, beautiful. Thank you for such a wonderful introduction to not only your background and your context, but also what really inspires you in the reason of why you are an educator. It's really wonderful to hear. I'd like to start this interview by asking you, we're going to start with the understandings of tragedy and the genre of the tragic text. And then we're going to work our way towards understanding the way in which you approached adapting and translating Sophocles' Antigone, just to give you the structure of the interview. A lot of these questions come directly from the form, so we will be repeating ourselves. However, there are some questions that came out of your answers that I will also ask as we go. Let us start with these questions around and about the tragic. What do you understand by the concept of the tragic?
As a person, but also as a Musoga, I would say that a tragic event is that incident or happening that is so much out of proportion. It probably could be expected, but not expected in the way it happens. It may or could have happened to others, but when it happens, it arouses new feelings, new suffering, new challenges. And it deepens the wounds earlier and those feared in the future. So to be tragic or to be in a tragedy is not only to die, but also to suffer extremely. Among my people, situations that are so unbearable, people would always exclaim as if they were dying or they were dead. And so that dying even while you are alive, and then that culminating into eventual death, physical, real, actual, and not peaceful, but a kind of death that may be surrounded with a lot of other negative, inhuman, depersonating situations that in total mounts to tragedy.
And then you so beautifully weave that already into the narrative of how does that relate to tragedy as a genre?
Yeah, as a genre, I would like to look at it from the perspective, I mean, for me as a riddler, I've mentioned several times that riddles give quality to other genres. Similarly, tragedy is an aspect of form. If we say that Nanta Megwa, for instance, has a brother who has been killed by a brother, that is drama. That is poetry. That's a riddle. But it is a tragic riddle, a tragic drama, a tragic poetic living, poetic life. So, as genre, it is, I mean, tragedy in any genre gives it that essence that makes it have a different kind of feeling from what the lighter one, say the gossip, the comedy, and any other lighter conversation could bring out. It is a deeper and far-fetching, not far-fetched, but far-fetching. It takes somebody to higher levels, deeper levels into that particular genre. Yes.
That's such an exquisite way of explaining your viewpoint on that. I'd be very interested to hear, in a lot of our interviews when speaking about tragedy, the word comedy keeps on coming up a lot. And I wanted to know what your feelings are about comedy and tragedy being intertwined for us.
Yeah, comedy is, in a way, it's lighter. It's a lighter form of this essence we are calling life's drama. It's a lighter essence. It brings laughter. It causes a bit of relaxed mood. Not that you may not have a comic relief within tragedy. There could be a comic moment within a tragic event. But in the sense of tragedy, the comic event is only there to even nail the tragedy far deeper. Take, for instance, when Mwami in this case, the king of the father and the king realizes how much his actions have led to the destruction of the home, the family. He makes some comments that are laughable, that bring a little smile on the side of his face and that of his wife. But then, from that moment, the wife goes and kills herself. And then he laughs at himself for having been so high-handed to these young people, thus causing their death. And so, it's like a light drama. You did it because you wanted power. You did it because you thought it was a nice thing to do, and therefore it was going to endear you to the people, and therefore it is something that they should be excited and happy about. Mm-hmm. But the result is bad. It's terrible. Mm. It's negative. You are not giving this young man a burial because he did not please you, and you are giving all the rights of burial to another, forgetting that this kind of joke you are making about the burial and the unburial of another one is going to become a lasting mark in the life of the other relatives and friends of the person who has not been honored. So we cannot completely detach the two, because the fool, the person, the tragic character, usually also has something laughable about them, which if they find, like in Shakespeare, when you get the fool will come and actually make a joke of you and show you that you are the fool, although you are suffering, that hamartia, you are also a fool, and therefore everybody will laugh at you for doing what you have done. So I think the two can go hand in hand, especially to hammer the tragic moments deeper.
Yeah, I wonder if it's also a way of like reflecting the societies we live in here on the African continent, and how tragedy is a part of many lived experiences, and that there is still humor and lightness in how we choose to still move forward. In this regard, I wonder, and I wanted to ask, do you think there is a specific African tragedy, or how is tragedy conceptualized from our own cultural standpoint?
I think it varies from African society to African society. As you very well know, we have societies that thrived so much on violence. And to them, death was part and parcel of life. They could even kill for a celebration. They could kill for entertainment. And that has kept on changing with the change of political leaderships, the coming of religion, and things of that nature. But it does not entirely change the picture that people, whenever they see a death, whether of an important person or of a lesser important person, they have the feeling that it is, in a way, a tragic event. Okay. But that does not remove the other feeling among the African societies, including Busoga, that sometimes people paid not for their sins only, but also for the sins of others. A kind of Christ or religious premonition that was there before even religion was known. The scapegoat thing that somebody or a group of people or a family, like now the family of Oedipus, suffers enormously from one to the other. And we usually get people saying that, the great grandfather in that family died like this or suffered like this. Therefore, they do not expect anything better even 4 or 5 generations afterwards. That is tragic, that people can be destined to a certain nature and kind of life and end even before they are born.
So it's not the death that is its tragedy, it is the continual perpetuated suffering that is its tragedy. I think on this note, we can start moving towards your 1998 translation and adaptation of Sophocles' Antigone, Nantomegua. I wanted to ask if you consider this to be a true translation, or is it an adaptation?
I think it's, when you say true translation, what is a true translation? My argument about authenticity of a translation is that it should be able to speak to the target language, target community, even while it remains faithful to the original or source language. Not necessarily the source community, but that would also be helpful, especially if other aspects like culture have got a close relationship. So in a good translation, the essence is more important than the content. What is the purpose and reason for the translation? Is it culturalization? Or is it linguistic? Is it the moral? What is it? So for me, when I was doing the Nantamegwa, I was more interested in the language and the morals. First, I wanted to use this classic text to discover new language among the Basoga, within the Lusoga, a language that could speak the language of literature, and not only the language of literature, but the language of tragedy. Without me just making a list of tragic events and the language that is used in connection with a tragic event, I decided that a story so deep like a play like this would give me that kind of language. And indeed, I was able to find a lot of words that address and speak in the form that could be called tragic. I was also able to get the language, the words in Lusoga that mean so many of the literary terms and language used in literature. So that was my first reason for the translation. And in that regard, I say my translation was very rewarding and was very good. The second one is the essence, this essence of tragedy, the essence of dramatic, of the dramatic. It is not authentic, in my view, to keep the name Antigone. And then you say this is in Lusoga. The Musoga is going to ask you, what is Antigone? Because Antigone doesn't exist. Doesn't exist at all. Doesn't make sense. So for any translation to be authentic, any translation to be true, it ought to change not only the physical locations, but the entire culture set, unless it is intended for acculturalization. If I were intending to bring names and places of Greece into the Xhosa culture, then I would maintain Sophocles, I would maintain Antigone, I would maintain Ismene, I would maintain Oedipus and all those other names, because eventually I would write them out in the Lusoga structure. And then somebody would read and know, this we are talking about Oedipus. But after finding equivalents of those names in the Lusoga culture, then I deeply ground the play in the Xhosa culture, so that when somebody reads, they can identify with the name Nantamegwa, they can identify with all the other names that have been used. Niazi, Aigaga, Vizibu, Lubale, Magombe, Mukama, all those are names within the Xhosa cultural context. And by so doing, the person who is viewing this play, or the one who is reading the play, will read it as if it were in their own backyard. It is in their own society, in their own community. And so the story has been translated into the Xhosa culture, the Xhosa setting, and that is the transformation that for me I call true and authentic.
I mean, it is absolutely an art form on its own. I really do believe that. And I wanted to ask, like, how did you go about finding the equivalent of the name? Like, how did you make those choices about names?
I used the Google search. I would get the name in the Greek, find its meaning in the Greek culture, and then I relate with the Xhosa naming.
Yeah.
That's how I was able to choose the names. I first of all, in the first edition, I did that direct translation into Xhosa. Antigone, and then I just make it Antigone. Then, yeah, the first response was, but what is this? It doesn't make sense, doesn't connect. So then I started looking for names that rhymed. Anything that rhymed like Antigone, I no longer have access to those first texts, but it was very interesting to go back to those first texts, and then we see. Even that didn't work well until I discovered that actually I should go into meaning. Where a name did not carry meaning or did not have an historical background, then I created a name that was close to the meaning that had been created by the other names.
Okay.
I used the dictionary very much.
Is naming or having names being named in Busogo culture, is that very important? Is that part of the culture?
Yes, it is. And we know that the naming in all cultures is very important. Take, for instance, the biblical, the Jewish and all those earlier years. After 7 days, a child would be given a name, but sometimes names would be given to the child before they are born, and the names had meanings. either because the mother is being blessed for taking too long to bear a child, or because there are pestilences that they have suffered and therefore they would like to. So in the same way among the Basoga and many, you know, tribes here in Uganda, names tell the story of a people, tell the story of a family. And so by giving a name like Nantamegwa, it immediately sparks off the knowledge and feeling that this person cannot be changed. They cannot be, you know, bent. They cannot be squashed. They are firm and strong in their decision. And exactly that's what Antigone is.
Mm. Mm. Is this the first time that Sophocles' Antigone has been translated into Lusoga?
Yes, it is the first time.
Okay. And do other Ugandan languages of this text exist?
Not that I know of. Okay. No, I'm not aware of any other language that has this Antigone translated.
Okay.
Maybe Kiswahili? Swahili, we need to check that properly, but I'm not aware.
Because I think it's so interesting, this question, and again in your intro, how important it is about the region and the clan you are born into and how that does texture the translation, and why it's so important to make translations, as you say, that are culturally like authentic to the audience that they're reaching. Can you just, the reason you adapted and translated this text was for high school? Is that correct?
Yes, for high school. I had the task of introducing Lusoga into high school, and there were no texts. We tried to use the Bible, but you know, the schools are not only Christian centers. They also have people who are animists and Muslims who would be very comfortable with just using the Bible as a text. We had a few small books, but they are narratives, and they were used in primary schools. So with the growing youth, they would not feel very comfortable, though they had not read any consistent texts in their local language, Lusoga, but giving them a little book of 6 pages and you tell them that you are reading a secondary school text was really a challenge. So I had to go for these longer translations because I couldn't think of a way of writing an original play under such a short time. So I resorted to this skill of translation. That's how I ended up translating about 5 to 6 plays for the purpose of giving the young people a choice and chance to enjoy drama in their own mother tongue.
I mean, it's also, it's so interesting. A lot of the the research we're kind of finding in East Africa is that a lot of high schools have Greek tragedies in their syllabus. And a lot of the performances are made for high schoolers to help them see it or understand it or unpack that. And I was wondering, why do you think that Greek texts have found their way into an African syllabus?
Well, I've not been a member of the curriculum development people who have been making the choices, but I know that like for Uganda, we always had a Shakespeare, a Greek tragedy, another from West Africa, and then an East African. Some schools had a choice to have a text from South Africa or Southern Africa, and others from the Islamic or Arabic communities. what was and still is common among the Eastern African communities, including, okay, the others had the French from the, some text from the French colonies. Mm. Yeah, so we always had Shakespeare and Greek, probably because of our connection with Alexandria and the first school in Alexandria, that the influence of Alexander the Great on Africa remains very, very, very of high influence, very big.
Okay.
His stay and even being named into a great city that dominates the northern part of Africa, and the culture that penetrated from there in Egypt to the rest during the colonial incursion from Egypt down to the south, towards the center, has never been forgotten. Mm. But literally, the culture of the Greek is not very far away removed from that of the African peoples. The questioning character of Aristotle, Plato, Socrates is very much the very lifestyle that we consider in riddling. Many children are brought up debating and discussing through riddles. Answers are never given straight. And this was also the caliber of conversation among the Greeks. So when I got to this play, and when I read Medea and all the others, the Lysistratus and the rest of them, I have got a feeling that these people could have lived amongst us. Because what they are doing, what they are suffering, what they are going through is more or less like what some of our people have gone through in life.
I mean, that feeds into one of the questions we've been asking, which is, do you think that the genre of classic ancient Greek tragedies resonate with African audiences? And I think you summed that up beautifully of why you feel that it does.
Mm.
I wanted to ask, when you were also writing this translation in 1998, was there a political or social climate that was at the forefront that maybe made its way into the translation?
Yes, I would say yes. In 1998, when I started on the first draft, I was doing my master's research in my home village. And I was looking at proverbs and riddles and how they help in poverty eradication. My people were and still are poor, struggling, living through very difficult times. We had just gone through a war that had ended barely 10 years. There was another war that was going on, and a lot of incursions and, you know, backlashes had influences on that community. So people were living a life of fear, death, and there was this particular incident where a group of lost rebels of the Lord's Resistance Army, but who were fighting on the side of Laquena, a fighter was called Laquena. They strayed into our village, and the villagers, I don't know whether it was out of fear or out of their nature, they descended on these people, young and old, killed them, chased them, and buried some alive. That was the time I had decided to get away from the village for fear that these incursions would disrupt my research. And when I came back, these were the stories I was given. They buried some of these people alive. And I couldn't express myself better in any poetry, though I did. And so when I came across a very old text of Antigone in my library, I decided that maybe this is one way of communicating with this community. That what is happening around has happened elsewhere, but it doesn't have to happen like that because it causes more suffering. I don't know what they could have done, but at least I was greatly, greatly affected by the fact that human beings could do such a thing to fellow human beings. And worst of all, this particular group had one of the fighters as a former minister of education in the Ugandan government and a professor of education by training. But he had been taken over thinking, yes, God is in charge and therefore no bullets can be turned against you. All these conversations were going on, and these villagers descended on these very helpless and confused, lost, misguided people. So when I look at Nanta Megwa, when she decides to take the action that she takes, she makes a stand and tells the sister, it is a right of burial, it is a right of respect. Nobody should be mistreated by virtue of whether they have done a wrong or right, they have. And these are the circumstances that led me into doing this, after which I did King Lear, because King Lear also has a similar theme. Yeah, so you are right. I had some immediate, but those immediate actions that led to my translation do not necessarily appear in the play. They only help me to think, what kind of language am I going to use? What kind of audience am I targeting? What kind of message needs not to be lost in the translation?
And if you were to rewrite it where you are currently today, do you think you would potentially use different words, or that the translation would slightly shift in the regard?
If I were to rewrite it today, I think I would only make the language a little easier. Because while I was writing this particular version, I had a lot of contact with the old people within the community. But now I'm aware that the learners in the schools may not have as much access to that kind of language as it was in the past, before several other languages bombarded the communities and diluted the essence of the original Lusoga language. So I wouldn't necessarily change the tempo or the depth of the tragic events or the way I have crafted it, but I would use certain language that would not alienate many people. The comment I get from some of the readers is that the language is so complex. But what makes it complex is because I tried very much to follow the Greek meter and the Greek structure, the English text structure first, but also the Greek text structure. I would always get to those comments and then try to get the real feeling that the author, the playwright wanted to communicate. And then I transferred that into the Lusoga. And when you do that, the Lusoga becomes so complex that even myself, when I'm reading through again, I, in some cases, get a little lost. But when I discover myself, I realize it's so beautiful that I'm glad that it was like that. Yes.
I wanted to know, with your profession and your background, particularly being in language and literature, do you have a personal connection to performance or theater, or do you think that it's not really a requirement to translate a performance text?
I started from the theoretical background, but I had been in theater before as a student, but also trained some community groups to perform and sing. Even some of the extracts from this play, I used to ask some village groups to perform a few things to give me the insight on what was happening. This particular play has not had a chance to be performed from cover to cover on stage. I think it is important, given my experience with The Bride by Austin Bukenya, which I call Omugole. When we performed that play, there are some statements and stage directions and other actions within the play that had to be improvised on the stage. So the text on the stage has to be different from the text in the book in a number of ways for this comprehension to be complete. The text as we have it now is descriptive because it has to be read. But when you get on stage, you have to act it out. So some of the descriptiveness has to go and give way to actions. It would be a total repetition for you to see something on stage and still allow a character to be explaining what others are seeing. It would be to underrate the audience. So maybe that is an area where I would rewrite, but not so much in this Nantamegwa, because Sophocles writes it out very well, that the words spoken are accompanied by, you know, very smooth and deliberate motion of the actor, that there would be limited repetitiveness in terms of words and actions, but only emphasis where necessary.
Have there been any performances, you do mention one, but have there been numerous performances of tragedies in your region?
In my region, no.
Okay.
We mostly have in Buganda, in Luganda, they often have some tragedies performed, but in Lusoga, Busoga, not quite.
But are there other kinds of theater that are happening?
Yes, there.
Okay.
Community theater, we call them community theater.
Okay. I'm just looking through my list of questions, and you've just answered everything so beautifully, just like feeding one into the other. Is there anything you would like to mention that I maybe haven't thought to ask in terms of the translation that you've made?
I can say that in order for us to promote African literature. We have to develop the thinking that a good translation into an African language should be able to completely deculturize and enculturize the target language, the target community. In that way, it will be possible to find spaces within that translation to infuse the unique characteristics of a given genre within that particular target language. When I wrote Nanta Megwa and I gave it to people who had never read the original text, they made a lot of suggestions on how it can be improved. They were even asking me, are you sure this happened in Kibulu? They even wanted to know the year, which particular thing that was. And for me, that was very instructive. If I had used names from Greece, then the reader would simply come up and say, okay, this is from Greece. For us, among our people, this is not there. We cannot refuse to bury a dead person. Yeah, those would be the excuses. But now, with that total translation, it tasks the target community to think as the primary community, no longer as a secondary community. And I think that's what drama is for, that we own up. We should be able to own up in any way. And language helps us to delve into that ownership. However, a language that is foreign will leave that gap uncovered. The people who are watching the performance will always think that this is them, not us. For me, that is a very important point to keep in mind when we are making any translations.
So you avoid that kind of idea of aesthetic distancing to make your audience or your reader feel like they are part of that world of the text.
Exactly.
Well, I just want to say another thank you so much for your time and your sharing of this knowledge, and bringing me into your garden for this time as well. I just bring you into my apartment, not nearly as beautiful and sonic. But
thank you very much.
Thank you so much, God, Dr. Gulera, and take care.
Okay. Jane, looking forward to hearing from you often.
Absolutely. You. Take care, Doctor. Okay. Bye.